You got something underneath
what?
That side of your chair?
You hiding shit? Are you hiding more nerds? What the fuck is wrong with you? Why does everyone like this video so much?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Visit betterhelp.com/Padilla because sometimes existing is exhausting. And if you want to watch this episode completely uncensored with no ads or sponsorships, click the join button down below to become a member, just like all these amazing people. But anyway, back to Ted.
Hello, Ted Nivison.
Hello, Anthony. This is definitely not at the end of the episode. This is definitely not at the end of the episode that we're doing the intro because we forgot to film at the beginning.
No, he's just deranged.
I'm so happy to be here.
He's gaslighting
you. I wonder
you.
What he's going to ask me on this episode. This is crazy.
He's a liar and a cheat. So I feel like I learned something new about your body. Okay, this sounds really weird. Let me finish this statement.
I'll finish it for you. Every time we meet, we learn something new and more intimate about each other's bodies. Is that what you're trying to... Is that what you're trying to say? Because it kind of feels like that's where you're going.
Basically, yeah, that's exactly what I was getting at. Today, I learned that you sweat profusely because of your medication.
Yes. Yeah,
I do. Last time I saw you, I learned that your resting heart rate is like 120.
Like 110, 100, in the 100. It's above. It's in the it's triple digits.
Are you wearing your Apple Watch today?
I'm not, actually.
I want to see what your heart rate is
right now. Because
it's at a... Is it getting tuned up?
Do we have an EMT on site?
I don't know. You going to do your heart rate? Wait.
I don't know if I'm good at that.
Wait, do it on your neck.
Okay, wait. So, somebody give me a timer for 10 seconds. Tell me when to start.
We got you.
So my heart rate right now is 120 beats per minute. Because I hit like 19 or 20 in 10 seconds.
Is this from all the Margaritaville and Rainforest Cafe food? The constant intake?
It could be because of the incessant amount of DoorDash that I order. That's what I realized when I first started making money off of YouTube, because it was like I was in college and then I started making money off of YouTube right at the end, and I was like, oh shit, yeah. I can order Domino's and yeah. I don't need to worry if I can pay rent.
Do you label yourself as a YouTuber?
Yeah, but it's like one of those things where it comes with the caveat of like someone asks you what you do and then you're like, yeah. And you're like, well, I make YouTube. It's kind of like that. Sometimes I'll just say like, oh, I'm a filmmaker or something like that. I think that especially in LA, if I were to answer someone and told them that I was a YouTuber,
yeah.
I'm afraid that most people's minds go to, what's up, guys? We're going to be pranking people here in Santa Monica.
What's up, guys? Yeah. Like always, that kind of.
Yeah, or just like, think I'm a prank YouTuber, which is, you know.
Is that the common idea that YouTubers are pranking people?
I don't know. That's just kind of the perception or worry I have in my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. No, please, no.
Ted, you are an artist, okay? Don't take that away from
Thank
yourself.
You.
You're an artist.
Yeah, I freaking know.
You make...
I really freaking know, Anthony. I know I'm freaking an artist.
You make torture documentaries where you torture yourself.
Well, so, okay, that's an interesting... I'm not interested in where you got that one, Nardwar.
Have you seen your content? Torture
documentaries.
Yeah.
It's such a specific...
Well, torch biographies about yourself where you torture yourself in documentary form.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess that is accurate. You sort of made it sound like I was like medieval waterboarder 795 and I was like doing documentaries on torturing people.
No, well, you torture yourself. The reason I question if you call yourself a YouTuber is because I feel like... I don't know, I feel like there's some kind of imaginary idea that you need to release a certain amount of content to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And you released 9 videos in the past year.
Shit, you counted?
I didn't even have to get to 2 hands. I didn't have to go past that.
You're right, you kind of just need to like go to my videos page and my thing and you can literally just like look down with your eyes and then you can see where
they- I didn't even have to scroll past one page.
You didn't, you really didn't. You're right, yeah. I try to keep it to 12, but I've been running a little slower this year.
Why you been so dry?
Why I've been so dry?
Yeah.
Interesting phraseology.
Yeah,
I know. My sperm count's been low this year on YouTube.
Shooting blanks, a lot of blanks.
I've been going back and forth between vasectomies, little office reference, snip, snap, snip, snap.
Snip, snap, snip, snap, snap.
After Margaritaville, I've been kind of knocked out.
For anyone who hasn't seen the video, it has millions of views, I know, but can you explain what it is that you did?
Of course, the elevator pitch. Of course, Anthony Padilla. Yeah. I'm going to explain it. Me and my buddy, Eddie Burback.
Who was just on here recently.
Yeah. Eddie Burback and I, we went on a trip to every Margaritaville in the United States and Canada, and we both did our own videos showing our own perspective of the trip. And it is sort of like each of us have an odyssey, and they're like, it's kind of like a little two-parter kind of like adventure of a lifetime.
Yeah, you kind of have to watch both to get the full perspective.
Exactly.
I was on your podcast with Schlatt, Chuckle Sandwich, and you told me, you're like, oh, next week I'm leaving to go do the Margaritaville trip.
Right, that was before.
Yeah, and it was pretty, I felt like I was saying goodbye to someone that was going off to war.
It was sort of like a deployment in many ways.
Yeah. You're like, well, I'll be gone for a month. Won't have any connection to any family or friends.
Yeah.
Just Eddie and I off to war. Every single Margaritaville.
Yeah, it's like we'd have to tell them no connection to family and friends. We'd have to tell people like where to send our next location so they could send a letter to us and like.
Wait, are you really getting letters sent to you?
In the context of us, if we didn't have actual connection, it'd be like, they'd have to know our route and like have to send letters in advance so we'd get them like
it's
when
true.
We got the location.
If you had shot this, if you had a reason to make this video, somehow the technology existed, but you couldn't communicate with people, that's what it would have been. Because how many locations is that?
There's like 23 locations.
And you did that in 25 days.
Yeah.
So in the first batch, it's kind of like a big jump between one location to the next. So the first few days, you're not having any.
Yeah.
And then bam.
From Biloxi, Mississippi onwards, it was like, we hit one, then there was another 90 miles later, and then there was another, like, because then we hit Destin, Florida, and then it was Panama City Beach, which is like a half an hour away from there. And then, you know, and then we had to drive all the way down to, like, Hollywood, and then there was fucking Key West, and then there was Miami, and then there was Orlando, and yeah, there's a lot. And that's probably why my heart rate's so high, because I consumed probably more fried food than I should have on that trip. For the first one, the Rainforest Cafe video, that was my concept that I had come to Eddie with.
So what did that look like? You're like, so...
Must have been in the summer of 2021, must have been in between like a lockdown scenario, or in between like, must have been in a period when you could go to bars and restaurants and stuff in 2021 in summer, I think, because I was at a alcoholic kombucha bar with Eddie, and we were chatting about YouTube stuff, and we were just chatting about big ideas and stuff, and I was like, I knew that Eddie and I were similar in the sense that we did not post videos as often as the average YouTuber. At the time, I think Eddie was posting maybe like once every like 3 months or something like that. So I was like thinking in my head, I was like, if there's anyone who would be willing to take like almost a month off to go do like a video scenario, it would probably be Eddie. So I was like, hey. So I have this idea where I want to go to like every Rainforest Cafe in the United States. And I was like, maybe if you have the time and are willing to, would you consider perhaps coming with me on a trip to every Rainforest Cafe?
Right.
And to my surprise, he was like almost immediately, like he was like, yeah, no, I would do that. That sounds ridiculous.
Are you like, you're crazy?
You should have talked me out of this. Well, no, it was like, because I've done a lot of road trips in my time. So like doing a road trip itself of a large scale was like, that was, you know, not a huge deal to me. Like I've done like 3 week long road trips in the past just for shits and gigs. But he was like, I'm down. And I was like, are you serious? And then we planned it to do it in April of 2022. So we had like a whole like almost like 7-8 months to like kind of prepare for it. And then we freaking did it.
How do you prepare for that? You like gotta fast, you gotta like overeat,
food. It was sort of just like we just chose a period when we knew that we would probably have some availability because we had the rest of the year and stuff. And originally it was supposed to be a scenario, it was gonna be a scenario where it was just I was doing my own video and then Eddie was just joining me.
Yeah.
And it was gonna just be a collaboration that existed on my channel. But then, and then later on, I think Eddie was like, oh, well, it'd be cool. Would you be okay with me doing like a video where I like kind of like in his office commentary style where he like does like a review of all the food that he ate on the trip as like a response kind of thing to the video I was doing. And I was like, yeah, of course you're coming on this trip with me for hour long.
Absolutely not.
And then eventually it evolved into us both doing a trip each from our own perspective of the road trip. And then that's how it kind of ended up. I think that Eddie and I understood each other's like pillars of what we needed to make sure that we were like operating well together. So like, at least one thing that I knew from Eddie's perspective is that he very much so likes to plan out like when we're like the timing and when we're hitting certain spots. Whereas like when we went on the first trip, I was like, we're just gonna drive and see where we show up. And then maybe we'll just find a hotel.
Real loose.
So I was like, okay, it's gonna make him feel better if I like operate within that framework of like very much so planning this out. So I'm gonna work with that and make sure that I'm not like pulling away from that. We just kind of understood each other's strengths and weaknesses way better than we had on the first trip. So I felt like that second trip, it was like we were like operating excellently on
that. Were you telling me that your ADHD kind of makes it difficult for you to like focus on like the game plan and making the game plan happen?
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of part of what happened with the rainforest thing was it was like I think I saw like a TikTok of like some guy saying a speech where it was like having ADHD is like an inability to see into the future almost in terms of like, and that explains a lot of like what I'm when I was in college, what I was doing essays like the night before and stuff like that.
Right. But, and then when I ask you what your 5-year plan is.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm like, what? It's hard to kind of like look into the future to like be like, I'm gonna need to start doing this thing now, even though that's 3 weeks away, because it kind of feels like it's more time than it actually is. But then for the Margaritaville thing, it was like we gave ourselves like a little bit more than a month to edit, whereas we had like 2 weeks last time, so we have like more than double the amount of time. So it was like we managed to get it done, and it was like we released on the same day, and that felt so good because it was like this big old drop. I was like, hey, we did it again. We didn't talk about it either publicly. Yeah. Like we just kind of like went on the trip and then just dropped it, and everyone was like, what?
So you're getting better each time, meaning that there will be a next time, meaning that next time you're going to go to every Chuck E. Cheese in the country.
There's like 6,000 of them.
Yeah, you could do that.
I don't know.
I got faith in you.
I think there's actually like 600 of them.
Yeah, something. I got confidence in you.
That seems insane.
I think you could do it.
We would be on the road for 2 years.
Yeah. Are you committed to this or not?
I'm not that committed to the rat. No, I'm not. I'm not committed to that rat.
I think it could be a career changer.
What would we do? Like it's like how many times can we go into a Chuck E. Cheese arcade and how many times can we see those animatronics sing?
Probably about 600.
How many pizzas do you think that we can consume?
Probably about 600.
That's not true. We're not going to do it, Anthony.
In this day and age, it seems like you can't just buy things anymore. You can only subscribe to them. There are subscriptions for everything, like streaming services and razors, fitness programs, and pet food. There's even a Bacon of the Month Club. It's no wonder it can feel impossible to keep tabs on what you're paying for every month. And all of this is why I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. With over 5 million users and counting, Rocket Money has helped save its customers an average of $720 a year. And that's $1 billion in total savings so far. Stop wasting your money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/Padilla. That's rocketmoney.com/Padilla. rocketmoney.com/Padilla. Now back to the world of Ted Nivison.
Give me more waters. I cleaned out this water.
You need more water?
Yeah.
Can we get one more, please?
See, look, I was dry when I first showed up.
Damn.
That's the progression right there. We want to see that on camera? This is legitimately just like water that is coming out of my body, and it just makes it look like I'm like, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So like, cool. Do you think that you're like a little jokester or something? Do you think that like you're like a little funny guy?
Why? Are you hungry? Yeah, it's just the middle of the interview. Everyone's kind of getting hungry, enjoying a afternoon snack. Why are you reading it so closely?
Why do you think I'm reading it so closely?
Why are you reading it so closely?
This is a spooky version. because I accidentally ate a 400 milligram edible, and that's why this asshole's bringing out Nerds Rope. And honestly, I haven't had a Nerds Rope in a while for probably clear reasons, but I love
them. This is the medicated version.
No, man, it's not.
You got something underneath
what?
That side of your chair?
You hiding shit? Are you hiding more nerds? What the fuck is wrong with you? Why does everyone like this video so much? I didn't even intend on making it like a video originally, because it happened like months before I made the video on it. It was my first video to hit 1 million views.
It's got 10 million now.
Almost.
So you know what it feels like to have 400 milligrams hit you like a ton of bricks. Wait, in the video-
This is like a direct quote.
Did you say in the video what, like, because you had to cancel your dinner plans.
Yeah.
Did you say in the video what happened?
What happened with what?
When you had to cancel the dinner plans, did you get dumped?
Oh, with like my ex and her father?
Yeah. Is that when she became your ex?
No, it's not. It's not. That came later, but it was unfortunate. But I mean, it was one of those things where it was like I had no control over that scenario.
Yeah.
Where it was like it was an accident, and it was like it ended up being fine, but it ended up being a funny story too. It was, I'll tell you one thing for before we move on from that. It was like, I think that there's a certain peak in which you can reach when you smoke marijuana, where it's like you'll hit a certain point and then it'll level out. And I don't think you can get really higher than that.
Right.
And I think I hit the peak of what was possible for me to get while high. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I fell asleep that night and I was still high when I woke up. Like it was definitely still a consistent high that lasted a long time.
Yeah.
But once I like came down from that, I threw up too.
Does that actually help though? Because
I tried to make myself throw at the beginning, but then later on, it was like a physical reaction. Like I actually threw up from weed.
That's wild.
It's called in the industry. It's called whiting out. I looked it up.
Oh, this was like blacking out.
In the stoner industry, it's called whiting out. It's like your face goes pale,
and you're
like,
just too white. You're.
And I mean, it was a significant whiteout given how pale I already am.
Yeah.
I mean, the most I had done at that point, I had done like maybe 20 milligrams, and that was like a significant high for me. So yeah. Like to know that I had done.
What is that, 20 times more?
Yeah. I mean, it was a very large amount of weed, and it was scary. But ever since then, I think that I have learned something.
See you read the label of that Nerds Rope.
Well, that's that, and also
you learned how to read.
I did. I learned how to read. Yeah, my reading comprehension skills have skyrocketed since that event. But I also learned that when I am a little bit too high, in that sort of survival technique of that incident, I have very much so learned how to ride out a high when I am feeling maybe uncomfortable. I'm like, don't try to resist it. You kind of have to. So I was like kind of trying to resist it, like it's too much, and I was like shaking and I was cold.
Yeah.
And I was having like sort of overstimulation symptoms. It wasn't fun. But after that, now when I get a little bit too high, maybe that I'm comfortable with, I'm like, just ride it out, you're fine.
I used to get really bad panic attacks whenever I would smoke weed, consume any kind of marijuana.
Really?
And
I'm sorry. You know how you have like intrusive thoughts when someone says something honest to you?
Okay.
There was a part of me that almost wanted to say in like sort of a like a in just a ridiculous way in which that I didn't actually believe that this was the thing. When you said I used to have really big panic attacks when I was high, I was thinking that it would be funny to say, that's pretty funny. As you're saying that.
That's it?
Yeah.
I would have been fine with that.
Well, now we don't know each other that well.
You could have just said that. You'd give it a shot.
All right.
Give it a shot. Try being a bully.
Let's try it again.
Okay. This is Ted's bully performance, aka his true self. I used to get panic attacks.
Interesting. Why are you putting on a performance now? Interesting. What is this? It's like Shakespearean.
Fine. I'll put the skull down.
Okay.
Back when I used to smoke, in the earliest days, I would get a really bad panic attack almost every single time.
That's so fucking pathetic.
Bro,
you disgust
you
me.
Thought you were gonna die after eating Nerds Rope.
Yeah, I wasn't being attacked by my panic, though.
Oh, really? What was happening then, Mr.
I was trying to fight it. The panic.
You said I was trying to fight it.
I was attacking the panic, though. I was panic assaulting.
Did you talk about this a lot? You did a funeral episode on Smosh. Was this mentioned? It should have been mentioned.
My heart rate?
that you're gonna die of the heart.
I don't think, I mean, it's, you know, I I have to go in and get my blood pressure and my heart rate checked every 3 months.
You are the oldest 25-year-old?
What are you talking about? It's something you legally have to do. To keep getting ADHD medication in California.
Okay,
you have to go in every 3 months, and then they'll check your blood pressure. They'll say, is it working still? Are you dying? And I say, no. And then they give it to me again, and I keep going.
I love it. It's just that you...
And then every year, I have to go into a psychiatrist and say, I still have ADHD. And they'll be like, I believe you. And then they keep giving it to me.
And you don't have to prove it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I've been taking ADHD medicine since I was like 13.
But you've always needed it. You didn't just do it because you thought it was fun.
No. I needed it. I started getting it at 13 because my parents were losing their fucking minds.
Because you were like a terror child or what?
Yeah, and I was like getting like F in French. And then they put me in learning center.
Wait, have you needed
they
to
They replaced, French? In middle school, they replaced my language class with learning center.
What's learning center?
Where they put the struggling children.
Were you really struggling or did you just not like French?
I was just struggling with school, and so they put me in learning center where the kids go, where they struggle.
Wait, so the thing that I'm getting at is I've spoken to a lot of people who have had issues like that in education, and they're like, it wasn't that I didn't necessarily not get it, it's just I couldn't really pay attention to it because I didn't find it interesting.
Yeah.
Is that a little bit more what it was?
Yeah. Yes.
Because you're capable of getting shit done.
Yeah, I am capable of getting shit done. It's just like sometimes it's just fucking hard.
I mean, but I feel like that's true with a lot of shit. If you ask me to go do something that I have no interest in, you ask me to go do it and get something that people would consider an A, it would be very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Like my success in school was very much so based around how interested I was in the subject.
Yeah.
So like even though I could probably do well in the subject, like I was in like the lowest tier math. I actually didn't even take math my senior year in high school. That's because I didn't need it. But like, then I was in like AP Euro.
You know, for me personally, I've found more resources on the internet that have interested me and allowed me to learn things in ways that I feel like the traditional schooling system could never.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying everyone should drop out of college like me, but
I didn't drop out of college.
Oh, you didn't?
I finished
school. Good job.
Thank you.
With the struggle of ADHD as well.
Yeah. Well, I went to school for film, so.
So you're able to take film and YouTube, merge it into what you do now. And you're doing a lot of other things too on the side that kind of lean more into your filmmaking. Like you just directed the Lovejoy music video.
Yes. The one that is out as we're speaking right now would be Lovejoy Portrait of a Blank Slate. Recently, on August 8th, we shot the Lovejoy music video for their new single. I'm not even sure if it's part of an album or anything, but it's called Normal People Things.
How does this music video differ from the last one?
Oh, in like every way. So the difference is that like with Portrait of a Blank Slate, that was like kind of like, it was like black and white, like meant to be this sort of narrative that was of an experiment done in like the 1940s. And it had like a lot of public domain footage that I edited and cut in between it. And then this new one, Normal People Things, it's done entirely through like those awkward family portraits from like the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
If you had an infinite budget, what do you think that you would make?
Oh, whoa. Maybe I'd go to every Chuck E. Cheese because that seems like a ridiculous.
It's not the likes, it was just the budget.
Maybe I'll make that Twitter bit where I'll make a Margaritaville high speed rail.
Oh, it just goes directly from one place to the next.
Yeah, I'll make a Margaritaville specific high speed rail.
Yeah, and before going, they're forced to watch yours and Eddie's videos about it, and then
they'll have like TV screens like they do on a flight, except that it'll be like what's new or like just released, but it's just the four videos that we've made. Oh, that'll be the only catalog, and we'll get so many views because ads will be on and they'll be playing an ad every 2 minutes. Yeah, so this has been fucking awesome, man. Yeah, no, this has been incredible.
It's been great, right?
Yeah, no, this has been really cool. Yeah,
so great that.
How do you end these?
Usually, I just tell my guests to get the fuck out. Get the fuck out. Get out. Take your nerd's rope. Take your nerd's rope. It was medicated, by the way. It'll be hitting you any second now.
Fuck you, I can deal with
it. It'll be hitting you any second now. Oh, shit. Violent.
Is that on camera?
No, it's not on camera. No. We're going to censor that.
You should.
Why are you pulling your pants down? Do you have trouble swallowing?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Why'd you ask me that?
Just curious.
I'm sure you are.
Also, I don't know if you noticed, I accidentally called you Ned instead of Ted.
You called me Ned? Is it just because of the recent episode of Ned's Declassified?
It was just a little flub. Wow. You look like a Ned, not gonna lie.
I look, God, dude, what is wrong with you?
You don't think you look like a Ned?
You bring me into this holy place and then you say that I look like a Ned.
You don't think you look like a Ned, only a Ted.
That's like me saying that you look like a Eugene.
What? No,
yeah.
It's not.
See how offended he got?
Are you just picking Try Guys names out?
See how offended he got?
No. See, it's different because that yours is just one letter off of a three-letter name.
Fuck you.
Whoa, hold the press. We have a new show called Assumptions that just launched on this channel. We already have an episode with trans athletes, and we just dropped an episode with asexuals. Basically, the show is a lot like I Spent a Day With, but instead of me sitting down with the guest, we got the guests sitting down with each other, and it is kind of hosted by, but mostly produced, host?
Whatever you wanna.
Nicole, yeah. Okay, so Nicole's got it handled, though.
I've been working for Anthony for a minute now. You may have seen me come in and give him his nerds rope
for
this episode.
Yeah, it's like force feed.
I'm a bit of a prankster. People know me around here as the prankster on set.
Yeah.
Make sure to check out this new show, y'all. It's super, super fun. We have trans athletes and asexuals already out, and we have openly gay pastors, furries, and Disney adults coming up. So check it out.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.